Thank you very much, Pierre. Dear Lorenzo, dear Professor Dugin, dear organizers, my home country, Austria, is at the crossroads. Since the start of the special military operation in Ukraine, the relations between Russia and Europe are at an all-time low. Whereas most European countries joined the West in sending weapons to Ukraine, my home country, Austria, focused on somehow upholding its neutrality, which is part of the Austrian constitution since the end of Allied occupation in 1955. On the one hand, Vienna refrained from arming the Zelensky regime directly and sending its soldiers to fight for an objectively evil regime. On the other hand, it sent money to Kiev and declared its solidarity with its goons. In contrast to our globalist government, consisting of so-called conservatives and the Greens, which is well informed about its economic dependency on Russia, the Austrian population is in its majority against the Western war in Ukraine and for peace with Russia. Nevertheless, the government prevails and not a single party inside the parliament has a vision for Austria as a part of a multipolar world. Even the populist FPÖ doesn't have any vision besides keeping neutrality, which in our current time means a state more or less aligned to the West. But how can Austria follow its tradition and become a constructive part of multipolarity? First, in order to become part of an intellectual pluriverse, Austria would have to leave the West first and foremost on an intellectual level. This means the abandonment of Western universalism, capitalism, materialism, chauvinism, and cosmopolitanism. But first and foremost, the adaptation of the Christian idea of empire. This idea of empire, derived from ancient Rome, sees the emperor as katechon, as hinder of the Antichrist. What the Antichrist is in our times is quite clear, I think. The forces of postmodern West, especially the current United States of America, with its Democrat leadership, globalism, and its allies from neoliberals to new fascists. In the Austrian-German tradition, this task was fulfilled by the Habsburg Empire, which from the 15th century on was leading the Casa d'Austria, the House of Austria. As of now, Europe is, as Georges Bataille and after him Professor Dugin noted, in the heart of hell. Europeans nowadays abandon the faith in God, ridicule their own heroes and history, even actively destroying their own families through LGBT propaganda. Fulfilling the role of katechon would mean for Austria to oppose all these developments of open society in the sense of Karl Popper and George Soros. Instead, we'd have to follow our spiritual roots back to the time from the 15th to the 19th century, when Austria was still following its katecholic mission. Back in these times, Austria was the political center of the Holy Roman Empire, which aspired to be an heir of the Roman Empire, like Russia did. But from the 16th century on, starting with the Burgundian inheritance and the fall of the Hungarian Empire against the Ottomans, Austria focused more and more on the Balkans in order to defend itself and its Slavic peoples there against the advance of the Ottoman Empire. The katecholic mission of Austria from the 15th to the 18th century consisted in fighting against the advance of Islam on the Balkans and the German heartland itself. As Aeneas Silvio Piccolomini mentioned at the Imperial Diet in 1455, this confrontation between German-Italian Christianity and Islam was back then to be understood as a punishment by God, which could only be averted when Europeans find back to a faithful life and fight against evil. In order to join forces against the Ottomans, the Austrian nobleman Sigismund von Herberstein, an aristocrat from nowadays Slovenia with German as mother tongue, who also spoke the Slavic language, went to Moscow in order to form an alliance with Russian Orthodoxy to battle the Ottomans together. Von Herberstein didn't consider the Russians as northern barbarians, like Europeans did before him, but as Christian brothers, which is astonishing since he himself was a member of the Western Church, whereas Russia stood true to Orthodoxy. Whereas during the first siege of Vienna in 1529, Austria and the German troops were mostly on their own, thanks to von Herberstein's efforts, not only did Cossacks fight together with the German and Polish troops against the Ottomans at the second siege of Vienna in 1683, but Russia joined forces in the Holy League in 1686 and conquered the fortress of Azov. Finally, in 1699, the joint efforts of Europe and Russia stopped the Ottoman advance in Europe. Prince Eugen von Savoyen, besides other heroes of the military and spiritual sphere, became the embodiment of this Katichonic mission. With its victory on the Balkans, Austria finally became a multinational and multi-religious empire, defining itself through its Christian mission, being the Katichon of vast parts of Europe, from northern Italy to southern Poland, from Bohemia to northern Serbia, which encompassed the territory we nowadays call Mitteleuropa, united by the figure of emperor and Christianity. Starting with the French Revolution in 1789, Austria's Katichonic mission consisted in stopping the modernist and revolutionary ideology of liberalism. Together, Austria, Russia, and Prussia stopped the onslaught of liberalism on the European continent in 1815 and created the Holy Alliance, which sought to suppress the forces of liberalism and revolution. One of the most important politicians of this period was Clemens Wenzelfürst von Metternich, who tried to build up a global anti-liberal alliance of land powers from Brazil to Russia in order to stop the spread of liberalism. Whereas the Habsburgs and Metternich were successful in stopping Napoleon and the French Revolution, they themselves were shaken up by the liberalist revolution in Germany, Austria, Hungary, and Italy itself from 1848 to 1849. This time, Austria defeated under the leadership of Marshal Radetzky, who was immortalized by the poet Franz Grillparzer, liberalism in northern Italy, whereas Russia came to rescue to quell the liberalist uprising in Hungary. Ultimately, the Habsburgs were unable to uphold the Holy Alliance during the Crimean War and unfortunately betrayed Russia by staying neutral. From there on, the monarchic powers in Europe were step by step overwhelmed by the forces of nationalism and liberalism, and ultimately forgot the Christian Katichonic mission and were dismantled at the end of World War I. These events, of course, led to the catastrophe of World War II and the ultimate loss of European sovereignty and land power to modernity and its forces. Nevertheless, the Austrian Katichonic mission and Mitteleuropa live on. Whereas Intermarium, in its current form, tries to transform the idea of Mitteleuropa into a pro-American alliance, countries like Hungary still hold on to the Christian European identity in defiance of the transatlanticist onslaught of globalization and sea power. And still, Austria, and especially its Katichonic mission and monarchic idea, are held in high esteem by some of the former parts of the Habsburg monarchy. As Professor Dugin suggested, and he caused a big scandal by that in Austria, Austria could revive these ideas and become again an important force in Europe. Together with Hungary, Czechia, Poland, Slovakia, Slovenia, Croatia, and also Italy, we could take up again the idea of monarchy and Cartesian in order to organize the great space of Mitteleuropa and wage an uprising against the forces of globalism in the spirit of Clemens Wenzel von Metternich. Following the example of Sigismund von Herberstein, we need to again understand Mitteleuropa not as a fortress against Eurasia, but as a bridge connecting the western end of the Eurasian peninsula with the east. If we accept the multiplicity of heartlands, Austrians, Hungarians, Western Slavic and Southern Slavic peoples and Italians could again join forces and hinder the arrival of the Antichrist in Europe. Therefore, European civilization would consist not only of the Austrian Katichonic bloc, but also of a Latin Empire and a German Empire in the north, each driven by their own Katichonic mission, as Professor Dugin has highlighted in a recent article, which of course would presuppose these peoples also destroying the shackles of globalism. All in all, these geopolitical and spiritual developments will culminate in the recreation of the Holy Alliance from 1815, but this time on a continental scale, encompassing the Eurasian landmass from the west to the far east.